Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back, especially as we connect one with another in the spirit. There is so much that's going on in our world, so many stresses from every side. But I thank God for Jesus. You see in my background, I got that cross. I tell you, we need to focus on the fact that Jesus is no longer on that cross. He has been raised from the dead on that third day with all power. If you are blessed with that thought, can you just give God some hand claps of praise? Lift up those hands, emoticons in the chat, some hallelujahs. I know it's a lot of typing, but I just give him praise for all the wonderful things that he has done. I want to thank you always for just praying for God to be the center of our joy, that we can walk in him as a family. The Lord has blessed us to be able to do so many things as we walk as living epistles, examples of his grace and mercy in this dark times, that the world needs to know that Jesus is still alive. God has allowed us to do a lot at ebcnc.com, so many teachings on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and we ask you, please, please, please keep that in your prayer, and we thank you for being a part of that. Our Thursday Bible study in person from 6 to 7. The Lord has just done so much in community, not just us going through the word together, but being able to comfort one another, encourage one another. Please continue to pray for our 8:45 in person, 10:45 in person, and also this online service at 10 o'clock that is reaching so, so many people. I just want to thank you for all that you do. Well, I am ready to get into God's word today. He has a word for us all, and I pray that you be prepared as we hear God's voice in our lives. We'll see you soon.
I will be reading Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
I'm holding.
I'm holding on.
I'm holding on. And criticize, but I'm
holding on to my faith.
And the things I have to suffer bring tears to my eyes, but I'm
holding on to my faith.
Oh, Satan is busy, he's stirring up wrath. He's gathering stones, y'all, to block my path. My enemies inflicting all the hurt they can, throwing their rocks to hide in their hands. You dig one ditch, you better dig two. Trap you set, this may be for you. He put it in my heart, you can't change me. He's wrapped in my soul, so the work ain't hard. Because I'm working, toiling, hoping, praying, trusting, believing.
watching, watching, waiting, I'm hoping. I believe in the Father and the Son. You know, I got my religion when I was very young. See, I'm a Christian, thank God, I'm saved by grace. I've had many hard trials trying to run this race, but I'm holding on to my faith. Jesus, I'm holding. Brings tears to my eyes, but I'm
holding on to my faith.
I said Satan is busy, he's stirring up wrath, he's gathering stones, y'all, to block my path. My enemies inflicting all the hurt they can, throwing their rush, y'all, hiding their hands. You dig one ditch, you better dig two. The trap you set just may be for you. He put it in my heart, you can't change me. My soul's on fire, so the world can't harm me, cause I'm working,
working,
toiling,
toiling,
hoping,
hoping,
praying,
praying,
trusting,
trusting,
believing,
believing,
watching,
watching,
waiting.
Praying.
I said I'm watching,
watching,
and I'm waiting.
Praying.
I'm watching,
watching,
and waiting.
Praying.
I'm trusting,
watching,
believing,
believing,
hoping. I'm hoping, I said I'm hoping, I'm hoping y'all, and I'm praying, I'm gonna trust y'all, I'm believing, I'm hoping, and I'm praying, oh I'm working, and I'm toiling, and I'm hoping, and praying y'all, I'm watching, and I'm waiting. I'm watching,
watching,
and I'm waiting,
waiting.
I'm watching,
watching,
waiting,
waiting.
I'm watching,
watching,
I'm waiting,
waiting.
I said I'm watching,
watching,
and I'm waiting,
waiting.
I'm watching,
watching,
and I'm waiting, y'all. I'm watching,
watching,
I'm gonna wait, y'all. I'm gonna wait,
waiting.
I'm gonna wait, y'all. I'm gonna hold on, I'm gonna hold on. I believe in the Father and the Son. You know I got my religion when I was very young. I'm a Christian, thank God, I'm saved by grace. I've had many hard trials trying to run this race, but I'm
holding on to my
faith. Jesus, I'm holding.
I'm holding.
I pray that you're still holding on to his hands. The Lord is so, so good. Did you know he'll never leave us or forsake us? That is wonderful news. Well, I'm ready to get into this word today. But before we get there, I just want us to go into a word of prayer. And I want you to pray. Pray. So much is going on with our nation and our families, relationships. Would you ask the Lord to speak specifically to you as we go through this word today, that we may be encouraged, that more souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of him? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for all the wonderful things that you are doing right now. It seems so often we look at those things that are going wrong and we don't take in account all those things that are going great. And so, Lord, let us not take for granted your many blessings. Now I pray for those who are viewing and listening that there may be some that are not saved. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In that chat, can you just say amen, 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 amen? Wherever you're standing, sitting, just say amen. Well, we're going to get back into that thing, back to the basics. And a subtopic today, we're still going to be dealing with relationship with the Lord, being dependent or independent. But before we go there, I want to go back to our memory scripture. It really is molding us, shaping us in our thought pattern of just being in God's will, being submissive to what he would ask us to do in our lives. So let's go to James 1:26 and 1:27. Ask you to read this aloud with me so that we can get it into our mind and deep down into our hearts. Would you read with me James 1:26? If anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. That 27th verse, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That good news, that's our walk, that's our example. Today, as we get back into that subtopic of dependence versus independence concerning a relationship with God, we're going to focus on being dependent today, and we're going to go to the cross. We're going to go to the cross, and I want you to really consider. So often, you know, every message, I try to get to the cross. That's a wonderful place, and get to that resurrection as we lift up Jesus, because that's what our faith, that's what it's built on. But today we're going to take a little time to peruse some things that happened before Jesus passed away. So I want us to go to Luke's gospel today, but also as we are in Luke's gospel, we're going to be in Matthew's gospel. So I'm going to do something. I'm going to splice the camera views. So we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of them, many times they talked about the same instance that Jesus went through or he ministered to someone, but there are different camera angles. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. But let's go to Luke chapter 23 and the 42nd verse. Luke 23 and 42. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Listen to that again. Luke is lens angle really focus in as he's led of the Holy Spirit at Luke 23:42. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I want to speak from a title today. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. In the chat, I want you to take time. Can you type that out? Can you say it aloud? Those who are maybe sitting in your lazy board chairs, maybe you're on breaks, just say, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. This message today, I pray will be reassuring to many of you, even a comfort to know that God does remember us. I think our struggle is to knowing that he really cares for us. And that's why I wanted you to repeat that over and over again. Lord, remember me. In a world that's gone upside down at times, it is so good to know that God hears our prayers. The time frame today is around 33 AD. Jesus has finished his ministry, his earthly ministry. Now he is prayed to the Father, his will be done. And he's been betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's been beaten all night long. They have put a crossbar on his back, and there he goes down the Via Dolorosa, makes his way to Calvary, where Jesus willingly lays down his life, allows them to put nails in that hand part and nails in the feet, and he is raised up on the cross. But there's so much significance. I want to let you know, even when you're going through, God can use you. And so often we are praying for God to take us out of a situation that we miss out on his miraculous hand working right in the midst of the struggle. Let's jump into this. Lord, remember me. Matthew 27, around that 38th verse is where we're going to start. Remember, we're going to be using Luke's camera angle and Matthew. So we're going to kind of splice it together today. But let's go to Matthew 27, 38. It reads, then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. Matthew 27:39 says, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads. I want to stop there, and I just want you to think those two robbers, I want you to get the picture, were crucified with him. These were convicted criminals. We're going to find out later. They literally were thieves. They were people who had done terribly wrong, so much so that they had the death penalty put on their life. And there in the middle of these two thieves is Jesus, the one that is the spotless Lamb of God. These are robbers. These are known in their community as mean people. But yet in the middle of them is the spotless Lamb of God. So much so as the leaders and others, they passed by and looked at Jesus on that cross, the one who had healed their sick, the one who had caused the lame to walk, the one who taught like none other. Now the scriptures indicate, and historians, as they look at the time, that Jesus is actually naked on the cross. And so when they would crucify, they would strip all the clothes out. We see that in the scriptures, that they are actually gambling for his clothes. And as he's on that cross of Calvary, people are walking by and they're blaspheming God. They're wagging their heads. I can see them there, that the enemy has entered into this area, and he's infused anger in the hearts of the people that are around. Have you ever gotten caught up in a situation like that? You don't know why you react in the way you are. It's just a tense situation, and everything is touchy. Everything that's going on, it's just thick because the devil is in the place. Look at Matthew 27:40, and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Christ is he is our propitiator. He is the one that's going to take our griefs and bear our pains on that cross. He is going through for us, but yet mankind, the ones that he's dying for, mankind, the ones that he's striving to deliver, are actually talking about him, about things they don't understand. Yes, within this scripture, we see they use things that he had said in the past and took it out of context. St. John chapter 2:19, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Yes, on the other side of that, we understand that he is going to get up in 3 days. We understand that literally on that cross, his flesh had been ripped and beaten and bruised, and he's bludgeoned at this point. But I'm so glad we have the end of the story. Lord, remember me. Isaiah 55:8-9 lets us know that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. We've been using these scriptures a lot because as we are being dependent on the Lord, we're going to have to trust him. Any amens out there? We're going to have to trust that God knows what he's doing. And I'll be honest with you, there's sometimes as the enemy comes into our lives and demonic spirits are around us, it is hard because the enemy is speaking things that are contrary to God's will. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Please, as he's on that cross of Calvary, thieves, robbers on the right hand, on the left, and people literally blaspheming, talking about him. Do you know that Jesus is right in the center of God's will? I'm telling you, this is going to bless somebody. As the struggle is on, as people all around don't understand, God was working out a wonderful plan. Proverbs 14:12 really gives us insight of our hearts. Lord, remember me. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Lord, remember me. Look at this as this unfolds in Matthew 27:41. We're talking about being dependent on God. What a wonderful example to see Jesus. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders and said, he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. But what they don't get is that he could come down from the cross. Do you know the scriptures say that there were legions of angels that were surrounding that area? As the enemy was allowed to come in and put all this pressure and this stress that was going on, there was the archangels that were gathered around saying, Father, just let us go. We'll take care of it. At any time, he could have called out to the Father and the Father and said, Father, take me off this cross. Do you know that the God was right there, but yet Jesus submitted to the will of his Father to die for mankind. And here they said, come off the cross. I am so glad he didn't come off the cross. There ought to be some glad folks. I'm glad, because if he had come off the cross at this point, there would have been no deliverance for us. No need to come to our internet service. No need to come to our in-person service. No need to read your Bible if he had come off the cross, but he stayed there for you. I'm telling you, Lord, remember me. We're going somewhere. Stay with us. Matthew 27:43. He trusted in God. They said, let him deliver him now if we will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. He was working on deliverance, saints. 44th verse. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now this is so important. I want to focus on this 44th verse before we get to that point. Even the robbers, this is plural. That means both robbers started out blaspheming him. Both robbers started out talking about him. Now this shows how hardened they are, simply because they have been crucified just like Jesus. They're in the same pain, but they found the energy to talk about the Christ, the anointed one. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing as those who were walking past. Here's the point. One word: persecution. Yes, persecution. Persecution is real for the child of God. That's why we must be dependent on God in our relationship. I'm telling you, when we're independent, we tend to run away from persecution. We tend to justify ourselves in the persecution. But I want you to know, persecution can be the will of God in our lives. We'll go through in our lives. John 4:48, Jesus talked about this. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. This is what he's receiving, persecution, because these people want him to come off the cross. He's already walked on water. He's already multiplied fish and bread. He's already done all of these miracles, raised Lazarus 4 days after he was dead, but yet they want to see more. And because they're not doing, he's not doing what they would have him to do, now they want to persecute him. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, a foolishness. This is so important as we're dealing with persecution. Now, I want to define persecution, because so many times we can get out of the realm of what it is. It means that there's a struggle that's going on. Persecution refers to the suffering. Can you put in the chat? Suffering. Harassment and mistreatment that believers often endure because of their faith in God and adherence to his teaching. When we submit ourselves to God's will, hear me, thanks. When we decide I'm all in, you're going to have to go through. Yes, we're going to be misunderstood. A lot of times we think about persecution happening in foreign lands. And yes, it is happening there. There's so many governments that are becoming contrary to Christians, to the belief in Jesus Christ. Yes, absolutely. But I'm finding out right here in the United States of America, families are falling apart. Daddies and mamas can't get along. Singles are deciding to do it their own way, to walk away from God. And I'm telling you, those who are staying, those who are deciding to love the Lord with their whole heart, they're receiving persecution when they refuse to go the way of the world and they stand strong in God's word and praise him in spite of the persecution is going to come. Doesn't make it any easier, but I want you to know that God is with you. Lord, remember me. Matthew 5:10-12, it says it like this: blessed are those who are persecuted. Could you put that in the chat? Persecuted for righteousness sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wherever you're standing, it says, say persecuted. It's serious. Jesus said this: blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. Here it is, falsely, for my sake. Anybody been there? You ever been accused of something and it was false? It was false. Maybe it was a gossip line. People misinterpreted your actions or situations. Lord, remember me. That's why dependency on God is so important, that we can trust the Lord and know that he's working it out. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Please, as we go through, as we decide to give ourselves more to the Lord, you gotta realize that there are going to be stresses in life. There's going to be persecution. And we can't say, Lord, why me? We can say, Lord, why not me? We can realize that others have already gone through and they made it. And just living this life under pressure, I'm telling you, that's why we need God's precious gift of his Holy Spirit, and to know that he's always with us. When we depend on God's will and his timing, things become together. We're going to go through. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly, anybody desire to live godly out there in Christ Jesus, will suffer persecution. I'm telling you, this you can take to the bank. If you live holy, there are going to be some struggles. If you live holy, Lord, remember me, there's going to be some misunderstanding. If you live holy, you're going to have to go through a path sometime that you may not like. But I'm so glad for God's wonderful will that we're talking about. That now I want to switch camera lenses. I want to go to Luke's gospel now, and I want him to kind of chime in as he's led of the Holy Spirit to give us a different angle of what God is up to, even in this time of persecution. Jesus bleeding on that cross of Calvary. People are talking all about him. Luke 23:39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him. Now remember, in Matthew's gospel, we see that both of them, they start out blaspheming Christ, talking about him, reviling him. But now something has happened within moments of him hanging on that cross and going through the struggle and people talking about him. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him. He continued on in his mindset that we started off within Matthew's gospel, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. He's being sarcastic in a sense, but he doesn't realize how truthful this saying is to save us. That's what he was working on that cross. Though he did not come out the way they wanted him to come off. I'm so glad that he stayed there for us, because he was working not just to save the two criminals there, but he was working to save mankind, for those who would believe in him. Look at Luke 23:40. But can you put in the chat, but wherever you stand, it says, say but. But I love it when the scriptures give us this insight on the other side. But the other, somebody say the other. But the other, answering him, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? Now, the tension in the text, the question that we've got to ask ourselves, what happened? I've already shown you within Matthew's version that they both started out blaspheming him. And now just moments within this scene here, at least from Luke's perspective, we see that one continues down that path, but the other all of a sudden seems to be have some enlightenment of the situation. Isn't that what salvation is all about? But we wonder, why me, Lord? But remember, never forget this. Remember this, it's by grace that we're saved, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. If it had not been for Christ, if it had not been for Jesus on us, there ought to be some shouts of praise here. All of us have been in a situation that we had friends and families and we chose Christ and they didn't choose Christ. And some of us are praying for our family members now, and we're wondering, why can't they see what we see? But here we have a vivid picture of one finally, the light coming on, seeing you are under the same condemnation. He realized, he said, I've messed up. We messed up, Mr. Other Robber, Mr. Other Thief. We messed up in our lives, but I've learned something. Just hanging beside this man, I've heard what he did, and I realized I didn't follow him before I got to the cross. But as we hang on the cross, he's even hanging different than we're blaspheming him, but he's not blaspheming us. We need to realize we're in the same boat as he is, in a sense. But notice something happened. happens in Luke 23:41. Lord, remember me. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. He said, we're hanging here because we deserve what we got. I tell you, isn't that what it's all about? When we become dependent on God, we say, God, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. I deserve everything that I've gotten. My life is jacked up. I've messed up. He says, we deserve everything. We're receiving the due reward of our deeds, but there it is again. Can you put it in the chat? But this man has done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Here's the point I want you to get out of this. Whose side are you leaning on? Yes, whose side are you leaning on? I used to be in South Carolina. That's where my wife and I lived for a period of time when I was in the military, and we used to go to a church. Was called Heart Action. It was in right out of Sumter, South Carolina, Manning, South Carolina. And I remember we were there, and we had one of our little nephews, in a sense, adopted nephew, and he would sing "Whose Side Are You Leaning On." He would sing that song over and over again, so much so we're like, okay, we know that we're leaning on the Lord's side. But I love, as I see this particular picture here, two thieves, one on the right, one on the left. Jesus in the middle. They both start out ridiculing him, but one says, you know what, I'm not going to choose to be on the thief side, the robber's side, but I'm going to choose to be on the Lord's side. It seems like an obvious point, hear me here, but to be dependent on God, you must choose him. Yeah, can you put in the chat, choose him? It does. It seems like an obvious point, but so often people don't get it. To be in God's presence, to be dependent on his will, you gotta choose him. He's standing, knocking on your door. He's got his arms wide open. On that cross, vivid picture imagery here, he is literally, his arms are wide open, crucified for us. Literally, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He is there, but there is one that's choosing not to choose him, and there's one that says, I want to be on the Lord's side. Remember that woman who had the issue of blood, and she had gone to all the doctors and in town, and instead of getting better, she became worse. And she said, you know what? I heard about this man. I heard about this man. But you know, even hearing about the man is not going to get her healed. She said, I'm believing. Look at Matthew 9:20-22. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Remember me. It's all about it. This cross scene, you got to choose him. You got to choose. If she had never chosen Jesus, if she never made her way through that crowd, if she never said to herself, I choose, I know, I believe, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, you know what? She would have never been healed. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that very hour. I'm so glad. I don't know if that thief that's choosing to be on the Lord's side was there in the crowd. Wouldn't that been amazing if he heard that woman, that testimony, and he was in the background when that occurred, but yet he didn't get the revelation. But now that he's on the cross, he said, Lord, in his mind, maybe he's saying, Lord, if you did it for her, I believe you can do it for me. I've messed up. I can't fix anything. I can't go back and return the stuff that I stole. I can't go back and fix what I said to other people. But right now on the cross of Calvary, I'm going to choose to be on your side. What situation are you willing to ask the Lord to intervene in for you? Whose side are you leaning on? Look at this, Lord, remember me. I love this. Luke 23:42. I hope you're leaning in with me right now. Then this convicted criminal, this thief, this robber said to Jesus, what audacity to say this. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, I want to define, there's a lot of things that happen, and we cannot forget the context of what has occurred. Both of them started out blaspheming Jesus. Both of them started out talking within the midst of Jesus hanging on that cross and the witness that he's presenting, his testimony. Please, we're going to talk about that. And in the midst of that, we find out that something occurs, a change in his mind, because in the scriptures here, it says, Lord, Lord, here, I wish I should have used the Amplified Bible to kind of expand this for you. So please walk with me. Lord is saying, you, God, you're over everything. I submit to your will. Remember, we're talking about dependency on God's will. I want to amplify that. It's saying, Lord, I can't fix it. I said earlier, but I know you can fix it. I'm not sure if you will fix it, but I know that you can. Lord, I realize all the stuff that I've done in my life, all the mess ups that I've done, I know that you can do something about it. And so right now, I'm willing to submit to you on the cross. I know some of you may have an issue with that he is being crucified. He's nailed. He cannot come off the cross. But when you understand what grace is, unmerited, can you put grace in the chat? Whoever you stand, say grace, grace. When you understand that God can do it all by himself, it changes what salvation is all about. We can understand why only Jesus could do it, that we could not do it. He says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, there's a lot within the scripture after that. Lord, I'm identifying you as everything in my life. I'm going to submit to you, whatever you say here. And he says, would you remember me? I need you to remember me. And he lets him know something. He said, when you come into your kingdom on that cross. Well, what happened at this point? Both of them started out ridiculing him. Now, at this point, he has recognized this man has a kingdom. I realize that this kingdom that I'm seeing out of my eyes, it's falling apart. People don't like him, but I recognize this man on the cross. He's got a kingdom. And he says, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Here's one word I want you to get out of this. Faith. Yes, faith. Can you put it in the chat? Faith is, that's a quick word to type. Faith, 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 faith. True dependency on God is having faith in him, to trust him in spite of the odds, to trust him in spite of what you've done, to trust him in spite of how it looks, to trust him no matter what the doctors have said, to trust him no matter what family and friends are doing. You got to no matter what the United States of America is going through, the world is going, you got to have faith in God. Hebrews 11 and 1 says it like this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Are there any witnesses out there? The faith is being portrayed here with this thief. He said, Lord, remember me when you come, your king. He said, I realize that you're Lord of my life. I'm asking you in faith to remember me when you come. I have not seen your kingdom, but I know that you're going to a kingdom. And when you get there, can you remember me? Man, that is faith. Here it is. The evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 2. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. Lord, please, I can't go back. I can't fix it, but I'm so glad for the scriptures. Hebrews 11, 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Lord, remember me. Do you believe that the Lord can do what he says he can do? Are there any witnesses? Just raise up your hands. But can you put it in chat, them a little motion card, those hands there. Do you believe? Can you give a thumbs up on that emotion? Do you believe that the Lord can do what he says he can do? I dare you to ask him, Lord, remember me. This is what the thief, what audacity, what faith for him to reach out at this point is shown on the cross of Calvary. Matthew 7:7, ask and you will receive, search and you will find, knock and the door will be open for you. Matthew 7:8, everyone who asks will receive, everyone who searches will find, and the door will be open for everyone who knocks. Would any of you give your hungry child a stone if the child asked for some bread? Would you give your child a snake if the child asked for a fish? As bad as you are. You still know how to give good gifts to your children. Here it is. But your heavenly Father is even more ready to give good things to the people who ask him. We can never forget Matthew 19:26. This is what this thief is walking in. He says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I need a quick chat or a typer there to say all things are possible. All things are possible, even on the cross. See, even with all that thief had done, now he has revelation of who Christ is. He said, Lord, remember me. Are there any people out there? Are there any saints out there willing to say, Lord, remember me? That's what dependency is all about. Look at this, Luke 23:43. And Jesus said to him, oh my goodness, I done got excited. I pray that you blessed by this. Jesus said this to him. It changed everything. He steps out in faith. He realized, I want to choose the Lord's side. He understands I am messed up. And now he's waiting. He's waiting between grasping for breath. That's how they were crucified. The energy, they couldn't hold them up themselves anymore. And they would actually, asphyxiation would occur, that they would actually submit to not being able to breathe, and their lungs would collapse under him. And so he's gasping for breath, waiting to hear what Christ would say. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, somebody say today. Can you put it in the chat? I know I'm working here today. Can you say today, wherever you're standing, saying today, you will be with me in paradise. My goodness, on the cross, a time of sadness, a time of suffering, a time of pain, a time of people not understanding. God is saying, I'm working my will out. I'm just looking for folks to be dependent in the dark time. I'm looking for folks to trust me. Here's the point. I want to get to you a word from the Lord. Yes, a word from the Lord. When we become dependent on God, all we need is a word from the Lord. It changes everything about our situation, even if the circumstances don't change. Now, this guy that's on the cross and has cried out, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's got an assuredly, this day you will be with me in paradise. He's still on the cross. There's still nails in his hand. He is still dying. There will be no deliverance physically from that cross from him. No. He's going to die. I'm just going to let you know. The end of the story. He will die on that cross, but something happened at that point. Though my body is not delivered, though his body was not delivered, please understand, his spirit was set free. Yeah, I believe there was joy on the deep side of it. We must know that when God gives a word, everything changes. I'm telling you, this thief, I want you to deal with this, is turned to a saint. This robber is turned to a child of God. Right on the cross of Calvary, there was nothing thing that he could do but call on Jesus by grace. Again, I'm gonna say it a lot. We are saved not of ourselves. It is a gift of God by grace through faith. That faith enacted that he would trust. He said, God, I need you to do everything for me. Are there any saints out there so glad that God has done what he said he would do? Isaiah the prophet realized that a word from God can change everything. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. On the cross, Jesus said, surely this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. A word from the Lord. Lord, remember me. Look at Luke 23:44. Now, it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. That's about a noon to 3 p.m. All these things is happening here on the cross in the midst of all of this struggle. Luke 23:45. And then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. The scripture lets us know it was torn from the top to the bottom, opening up a way that we can enter in. This is the point. Run to Jesus. Yes, run to Jesus. Look at this 45th verse again. Then the sun was darkened and that veil of the temple torn from the top of to the bottom. This was a thick curtain, historians let us know, that was dividing the people from the holies of God. Only the high priest could go in once a year to make the sacrifice on behalf of the people and himself. But I'm so glad on the cross of Calvary, Lord, remember me. On the cross of Calvary, that thick curtain was ripped, signifying that now God said, you can go right in if you just have faith and trust me and become dependent on my will, because because we are dependent on God, we can run to him in faith. Hebrews 4:16 lets us know, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Can you scream out mercy, mercy, and find grace? Can you scream out grace, grace again to help in a time of need? Lord, remember me. When we cry out to God in dependency, we get mercy and grace, and we go into the very presence of God. This robber on the cross, he received mercy and grace right there on the cross. Look at Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Here's another point. The Father's hands. Now, not the Father's hand. I don't want you to miss the context. He's just said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The robber, he's dying. He's in the midst of dying, but he knows I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. And now Jesus said, I gotta finish on with this. I got another convert. I got another convert on the cross with me, but I gotta make sure I go across the finish line. I need to make sure I do everything that God has called me to do. And I want to encourage you right now that God is not finished with you. God is not finished with your situation. God is not finished with the pain that you're going through right now. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? I just want you to know that even in your pain, even in your struggle, God says, I can work things out for your good. Am I quoting scripture? All things work to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his plan and his purpose. The question, do you love him today? I'm so glad that this is a wonderful picture of dependency when it comes to Jesus. He's on the cross. He's got, Father, I've done everything you told me to do. I'm suffering. I'm in pain. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I know my body is broken down. I know it's got holes in my hands and holes in my feet. But Father, I know there's a bigger plan that's going on. I got somebody that's going to enter into paradise with me today. But I realize I've got to carry their sins and bear their griefs. There ought to be some amens out there. I wish there were some people that could be with like this song that I struggle with sometimes in dependency with God. It says, that we be able to sing all to Jesus, I surrender all to him, I freely give, I will ever love and trust him in his presence day to live. I surrender all to Jesus, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Lord, remember me. I got one more scripture if you just bear with me today, because in your struggle, in when you're going through and it seems like the enemy is at his worst in your life, do you know that you need to guard your testimony? Look at this, Luke 23:47. So when the centurion saw what had happened, that's the soldier that was at the cross. He saw these two thieves, these robbers. They start out blaspheming people, walking around Jesus. This man, he's different than all the rest. And all of a sudden, one of the thieves come to himself. Lord, would you remember me when you come to him? Jesus said, assuredly, this day thou should be with me in paradise. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God. He got his shout on. He got excited. He began to submit to God himself and saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Final point. Fight for your testimony. Fight for your testimony. There are too many people that are giving up at the point. I know it's dark, and I know you're stressed out. I know the enemy is after you. I want you to know when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord said, I'll raise up a standard. You don't give up now. Don't give up now, because now is the time that your testimony is being groomed. When we walk in dependency towards God's will, we will have a testimony. Can you put in the chat testimony? I'm not talking about just standing in a sanctuary with people and you telling about what the Lord has done for you. That's great and grand. You don't need a sanctuary for that. You can tell about that at Food Line. You can tell about that in your home. You can tell about that on your job. That's a wonderful thing. But I'm talking about your life and what it says when it comes to being dependent on the Lord. Revelation 12:11 describes this, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. But Christ's testimony here on the cross of Calvary gives us an example. Aren't you glad that we can say, Lord, remember me? Are there any glad folks that know the fact that he did die on the cross of Calvary for us? But I'm so glad to let you know 3 days later, he got up with all power and all glory. Yes, he allowed them to tear down that physical temple. Yes, he allowed them to put nails in that physical temple. But I'm so glad that when they put him in a cold grave, that he he got up with all power and all glory. And do you know he gave us a bonus there? He could have just got up spiritually, but he said, no, that's not going to do enough of it. I need to get up with my all my body. I need to have my glorified body and everything to let them know that I overcame death and the grave. I'm able to pull the body back together. Lord, remember me. And I'm so glad that even on the island of Patmos, Jesus had the testimony in Revelation 1:18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Lord, remember me. I just wonder, are there any folks that say, Lord, I thank you for remembering me? Is there anybody out there saying, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul shouts out hallelujah. I dare you right now to lift up those hands. I dare you to put hallelujah, hallelujah in the chat to thank God for remembering us. Even in our struggles, even in our pain, even when we feel like God has forsaken us, oh, it is so good to know he will remember us. He has remembered us. He is remembering us now. We just got to reach out in dependency. The enemy is selling so much junk. He's saying, you can trust me. Just take this. Just do that. I'll give you peace. Anybody know what he's selling doesn't last? It's junk. It's just painted over. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But God says, I'm looking for folks that will give me their total lives, 100%, that'll be dependent in the good times as well as the bad. They can go back to the basics and trust me with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Saints, it's time for us to step up in Jesus. Yes, we got to fight for our testimony. We got to cry out, Lord, remember me. For those who don't know Christ, what you waiting for? Our world is falling apart. Yes, there's some lights here and there, but we can see their stresses. The enemy has stepped up his attack. The scripture said it would be this way. But I am so glad that God is still in the saving business. We repeated this scripture over and over. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. That thief is an example of that. For it's by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. That thief was an example that he goes from a thief, a robber, a convicted criminal. Oh, to that day, entering into paradise with Christ Jesus. And that's worth shouting for. To the saints, man, we've got to pray that God use us in this season and time, that we can share Christ, that we can be those living epistles, that we can speak truth, love, and peace into lives that are around. The people are losing their minds, but I'm so glad we have a Savior. Any glad folks out there? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this word today. Lord, remember me. Thank you for accepting that criminal, that thief, that robber into your family. Why? Because he put faith in you. He chose your side. He chose to be totally dependent on what you could do for him. Lord, teach us, help us to depend on you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please, 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 please.